This is Kat Jones with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm talking to Damien right now about his experience with homelessness. Tell me how it all started.
Well, I was making my boss about $97,000 a month and doing sales. Hated every minute of it. And then one week just lost everything, because it can happen to anybody at any time. My boss, the owner of the company, flew out from Ohio and fired my boss's boss. My boss took my job and laid me off. So I went from making about $1,700 a week to having nothing. Everything in the fucking world can just go to shit like that. And it did. My friend Levi, who was a really quiet, bookworm kind of a dude, I saw him the same time this happened. I saw him last time 8 months before, and still on cloud nine. I was still very, very happy. And he wasn't doing so hot. And I gave him a blanket. I didn't give him any money. Nothing. I wasn't going to give him any money. I gave him a blanket, and he was hanging out with us in the park. And then his body was 10 days behind the library before they found it. Still wrapped up in the same fucking blanket. And that was the same time that I wound up being homeless. So that was also very interesting. And you realize where your friends are, who you have and who you can count on, very quickly when you end up in those situations. And you realize it's always been just you. No one's going to help you. No one's going to save you when you have nowhere to go. People don't understand how important it is to have a spot just to lay your head.
Did you have a spot to lay your head when you were homeless?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I would have different spots. My first spot, I think, was many spots. Like, you're always just trying to find a spot to sleep all the time. So when you can make something, or like a shelter or a shanty or something like that, it's golden. I had a hack blanket, and it was pouring rain, and a hack blanket is, you know, the tiny styrofoam made piece of blanket that literally is, you know, it's going to fall apart in a day. So, but I had a hack blanket, and then I remember pouring rain, jumping a fence behind a church, and there's a piece of plywood that I found, and I had to grab the piece of plywood, then jump over the fence, and then I made a shanty. I made a little, you know, I had a roof, and I had a, you know, wall, and it, you know, kept me warm at night. You know, put your headphones on, and, you know. My biggest thing was I don't do boredom. I've never been bored. So even when I was homeless, every time, every night, you know, about my dumpster spot, like, I'd close the door and fuck the world. No, I have my little phone, I have my movies, I have my music, and I have, you know, everything's going to get me to the morning.
See, yeah, I do remember you from that time, that you were sleeping on a little futon on top of some dumpsters in a little, what would you call that enclosure?
A shed? A dumpster shed? I don't know. That futon mattress, I dragged that futon mattress 12 blocks to get it to there. It was probably like 11:30 at night, and I'm just walking down the street with this giant futon mattress. In my head, I'm like, I'm gonna have it. Maybe I'll sleep good tonight. You know what I mean? But everyone else is like, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know what I mean? They have no idea what that, like, same as when they saw me, like, canning for fucking, you know, change. Like, I'm literally heads up, I'm diving into dumpsters trying to find cans because I'm too proud to flog and fly a sign. I'm not gonna beg anybody for a fucking dime. Yeah. Like, no, like, you know how fucking gross that is? So the entire time, like, I'm up to my elbows in old blue cheese dressing and next day's chicken wings, trying to find 5 cents to get my next natty daddy. Yeah. 4 a day and 5 Lucy's. And a book a day. I like the books.
I think about you every time somebody says something, and I see this every time there's like a comment section having to do with homeless issues or something. Somebody's always going to pipe up and say, those people aren't homeless. I saw that person with a cell phone and stuff like that. I mean, it's like they think that you're a different, like, you're not of this world anymore if you're homeless, you know? And it always makes me think of you walking along listening to your music through headphones.
It's ridiculous because the opportunities that a cell phone even just allows is a fucking mini PC. So what I would do with a lot of the homeless was they would get like the Obama phone, but then they would have their Obama smartphones, and they would find, I mean, and I would be able to give them some movies and some music, and we would have, I called it the bum drive-in. I told you about that? The bum drive-in where literally it was like six or seven of us, and I'm the guy, it's a new movie. Like, it's almost like bringing someone back some kind of class or respectability where you are part of the world. You can enjoy just as much as everybody else has, even if you don't have the opportunities that everybody else has. You know what I mean? I guess I'll bring it there. You know,
Where did you bring it?
Oh, it was the ramp outside the church. This is a handicap access ramp that Al, Harmonica Man, used to always pass out on. So I would always try to wake him up before the cops would, you know, with him. But so right there, it was Scotty, Al, Danny McDonald.
Nice.
And then I would just hook everybody up. And all these homeless guys were able to watch it like firsthand before anybody else just because of fucking piracy. Most of the homeless people I know, a lot of them are just trying to get by. A lot of them are trying to find the next thing. I don't try not to be bored. I mean, the only thing I did not like about being homeless was the disrespect, the instability, and insecurity. Besides that, there's nothing. I was free. Every day, people were going on to work. And every day, I would be reading a new book. And as they were complaining about their lives, I was feeding squirrels and watching the sunshine. So,
you kind of said already the worst part about it is the disrespect from other people.
Yeah, it's like being a leper. Just the idea of being homeless gives you a stigma, and like I don't tell anyone I was ever homeless.
So you were homeless for 2 years, is that right?
A little bit over, yeah.
Can you talk about how you found your way off the streets?
I don't know. It was literally just like the legality part of it. I had legal issues.
So you got arrested and they brought you in off the street. Is that what happened?
That's how they like to see it. But no, they literally the only obstacle to my being on the streets was legality. If I had the opportunity to get a job or do anything else to get off the streets because of legality, I would have done it earlier. But I didn't, so I was just doing odd jobs and, you know, doing whatever I could to make it through a week or a day instead of, you know. But once, you know, I had to deal with that shit again and got that taken care of, the legal issues, basically just jumping through hoops and doing what I was told, which I don't like that.
So you had papers on you that when you lost your job, you couldn't just go out and get another one because you had papers on you. Was this the uncommissioned art crime papers or?
Yeah, that was, somebody else was doing some uncommissioned art. And I caught a lot of charges, all the charges. And so I had no thing to do but, you know, rat or run.
So you were on the street because of art. Welcome to my world, buddy. So what happened eventually to get you off the street was that they caught up to you. They arrested you because they found you had those papers on you, right?
That's what got me off the streets as far as into jail.
Yeah.
That's not the same fucking thing, no. What got me off the streets is me. It's being like, no, I want this. Mm-hmm. I want a place that's mine. I want to be able to buy a book and put it on a fucking shelf instead of, you know, trying to hide it somewhere and have it get stolen later. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Buying books, people don't understand how buying books could be so important. When you buy a book, you got to put it on a shelf. It's got to be part of your home. You got to have a home to have it. It's important. So I got sidetracked there.
So you scraped yourself together and got off the streets once that legal issue was cleared up. Is that right?
Yeah, I had to take care of all my legal obligations, and it took a long, long time. And of course, I was angry about it. I'm still angry about it. I shouldn't have had to do any of that. But what really got me off the streets was determination.
How long has it been since you got your apartment, that since you've been off the street?
It's been over 2 years now.
2 years.
It's been over 2 years, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's been over 2 years. Wow.
And you've had this job that you're doing now for...
Over a year. Yeah. I work at State Ed, and I give people diplomas. Nice. Every day.
That's pretty sweet, man, going from living on the streets to helping people get their diplomas. Do you have any advice that it would be important for someone to know if they're newly homeless and they're just finding themselves out there on the street? What kind of advice would you have for them?
Get warm socks. Watch out for cops. Canned food will be your friend.
Bring a can opener. What about people that judge people because they are homeless or that they found out they used to be homeless?
You're a second away from being in the same shoes. I was homeless, and it was fucking terrible. Like, I remember going to sleep not knowing if I would wake up. But I also went to sleep knowing that no one can ever control me. I do what I want. And that's always a good feeling.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you? Anything else that you want to say?
Don't judge anyone you meet, because you never know who's fighting a harder battle.
All right. Thank you very much. It was good talking with you, Damien.